Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on transforming anger into movement and momentum. And as we carry on with our context of disorientation, I got a question that I thought was a really good one about the head wiggle woggles, as I'll call it, and the taking the four tires in the back of the skull and moving them to the wall directly behind you. Well, that was a whole body movement there, which is probably a good sign that I need to actually get my posture back up there again. And as you explore that, know that you're welcome to use that as much or as little as you like, and to do it with curiosity. For the movement, the question that I got, I'm going to paraphrase it, I don't have it directly in front of me, was to something of this effect. Can I use this even if I'm not like disassociated, but I'm just not quite feeling like I'm fully myself or fully here? And the answer to that is give it a go and see what happens. So play with it and let me know what happens if it works well for you in other contexts. I'd be really curious and interesting to hear about. It is about positioning and having like a clear position in your life, which is what leads it to be orientative. Orientative, is that a word? It is for today. So it's really useful for that. And I've got a few different things. So if you try that one, you're like, that one doesn't do anything at all for me. I do have another one. It's more time consuming. It takes maybe 5-10 minutes. And there's a few more steps involved with it all. I think I've done it once on a call. It was a couple of years ago. And I've done it with a few classes where I tend to play with it a little bit more when we have more space and more time than on our call. But I'm more than happy to go into it if that would be supportive for anybody. So let me know. And a reminder as well, you have the supports of cortices as well as your diaphragm to intestines. Okay, I'm seeing the updates in the on the chat feature, Thank you for all that. And I think without further ado, we're ready to rock and roll. But before you get too comfy and cozy, we haven't done a lot of movement at the beginning for a while in Buddhas and Butterflies. It's been a few months, so I have a song for us too. It's perfect with the thank you to the chat feature. It's a perfect opportunity for the week that we're at to do a little bit of movement to get us going and have a, it starts off slow, but it picks up pretty quick. 3.5 minute song. It's by Samantha Leah. It's from the album I Choose Me, and the song is also called I Choose Me. So I'm going to invite you to either chair dance. If you don't have a lot of space around you, you could do that. Or if you have a little bit of room, to stand up, knowing that however you move and groove is fine, and you're welcome to keep your cameras off. I'm going to keep my camera on, and feel free to dance along with me. So invitation to move.
Anger just don't hit the same in this new phase of life. Barely ever entertained. Something just don't feel right. I got one foot in my former life, one foot in something new. My family, everything alright, but inside I'm a bit confused. Feeling like the path that I've been on ain't the one that I'm supposed to do. Be myself or be someone else. Now, which one will I choose?
Well, if you know anything about me by now, you should probably know the answer is.
I know that they might not get it, but I choose me. They might think I'm crazy, but let them, cause I choose me. Some people might even get jealous, but I choose me. I need to do what makes me happy, so I choose me. I know that they might not get it, but I choose me. Floating through the universe, I just want to. Would you ever know what's best for me if you're not even me? One one foot in my former life, one foot in something new. Tell my family everything alright, but inside I'm a bit confused. Feeling like the path that I've been on ain't the one that I'm supposed to do. Be myself or be someone else.
As we settle in, I'm just going to take one more scan through any additional chat messages and catch up on any updates. Okay, got it. Thank you. And as we settle on in again, making your way to a nice, comfy, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for our time together. As we settle in, perhaps beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to call in, to receive. And to drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. Every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, too neutral, taking time to drink that in, to savor that. Then I'm going to invite you to scan your environment, either outwardly or inwardly, wherever the gaze feels drawn to go today. And as you scan, letting your gaze look in every direction, really letting it explore into places that it may not usually go to. And as you scan 3D, letting the gaze let in anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And as your gaze lands on that thing that's pleasant to neutral, the invitation is to notice what it is you like the most about that thing. Noticing what it is you like the most about that thing. Perhaps it's the shape or the size, the color, what it reminds you of. The way the light flickers with it and dances with it. The shadows that it casts playfully. And as you notice whatever it is that you like the most about this, savoring it and receiving it for the nourishment that it very well may be. And as you drink this energy in, breathing it in, and noticing how the body mind responds. And as you continue to savor all that's happening that you're aware of in your body mind, along with that thing, that resource that you've landed on, the invitation is to really let yourself immerse into it just a little bit more, just 1% more, dropping a little deeper into it. And as you do so, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being here for it. Thank you for your rich presence and the sweetness of all that's got into this opportunity to be here, to be present together in all these ways. Thank you to your families that created you. Thank you to your ancestors, your lineages. And thank you to your villages, those that you claim as family, that support you in all the ways. And thank you, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, deeply, to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished all of us, and all of those before us, and all of those to come. Thank you for that gift, such a deep blessing, for us all to be sustained from. Thank you to all that is and all that will be, just as it is. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. Blessings on our journey together. And blessings for you. As we settle in for today's session, we're starting off with lymphatic drainage through the neck muscles. I have mentioned this, but not recently, I don't believe, the SCM, the sternocleidomastoid muscle. It helps to shoulder check when we're driving. It's one of our main muscles of orienting and taking in our surroundings to let us really know where we are. And as we run lymphatic drainage through it, we're going to do the same through the eyes, through in fancy talk and in yoga speak, in Sanskrit, it would be referred to as the gaze, the drishti. And the thing about our gaze, the drishti, is when we're orienting well, the peripheral vision is more acute. So our gaze is actually more steadying. It creates more of a balancing versus, for instance, in our current modern day world, if we were always looking at what was directly in front of us, like our phone, our tablets, our computer screens, our whatever it is, the focus becomes narrowed and pinpointy, and it doesn't as usually afford for our peripheral gaze to be as developed or as strong. And yet if we were to ask people who weren't making their living off of electronics, but living off of the land, the most important part of the gaze is not found in the center point, it's found in the edges. And it's the peripheral gaze that helps to steady us. It helps us to give balance. And it also opens up when we feel more in the energy of that window of tolerance, of calmness, of curiosity, of connection, of balance. And as we notice that, as our purple gaze may catch your attention as you track it over the coming months, the edges of that may give you information about where you're at any given moment in time. If our peripheral gaze was really strong, that's actually where we would source the majority of our, what was that that caught my eye, kind of movement, which is where hunters would traditionally notice prey moving. And it's where we would get our opportunities for nourishment. So if we take that into modern day living, as your peripheral gaze opens up, you also have the capacity to more deeply take in an abundance, a cornucopia of nourishment, and what gives rise to keeping you balanced and settled and steady. So as we run lymphatic circulation through the neck muscles and through the gaze, the eyes become, as they're often referred to, the windows of the soul, and they become more into, no pun intended, a focal point, as they are also the processing center for the liver, which works with processing anger, works with keeping a number of things in check in our system, and releasing toxicities on all frequencies, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, otherwise. And as we work within the liver here for today, we're releasing this feeling around just generally feeling like unsettled, like can't get my roots, can't get my bearing, can't feel the ground underneath my feet type of energy. And as we, although the liver is traditionally a, not traditionally, it is a wood element in traditional Chinese medicine, the essence that I'm seeing is to give it a little bit of earth, give it a bit of grounding, as if it's adrift and it can't quite figure out, it's almost disorientated in and of itself. Can't quite figure out where it is and where it could be and where it could relocate itself. So we're actually going to start off by running lymphatic drainage through it as well. So lymphatic drainage helps to, much like that lymphatic circulation, I'm using those somewhat interchangeably, is working with the clearing out of toxins, gunk, waste, which we see as a metaphor for cleaning out our low self-esteem, our overthinking, and our overanalyzing. And as we support the liver in releasing that, along with all things neck, muscles, and particularly that SCM, the shoulder checking muscle, and the gaze through the eyes, we're looking at those times in which you were little and your attempts to look around for food were thwarted and didn't seem to get overly rewarded and may have even been punished. Maybe even been, if you grew up in an abusive environment, referred to as needy, or maybe you were even called names for having those needs. And as we look at all the different frustrations, the different blockages, to whatever extreme, major or minor they occurred, or even were thought to occur, often it's a misperception on our part that it's happening. The liver registered it all. And it carried with it this idea that the attempts to get what was good for you was going to be impossible. And you're going to have to work really freaking hard, really fucking hard, to get your attention and to get the attention of what is nourishment and to be able to draw it into you. And there's this idea of it's actually going to cost you more than what it's going to provide. But nonetheless, you still had to almost play that game, I'm going to call it, to attempt to get what you wanted. But the capacity to fully receive it wasn't quite worth the effort. But nonetheless, it was like this losing battle that continually had to be played because the other option was to not receive it, which wasn't going to promote survival. So as we work with this idea of this, things being thwarted or blocked becomes a sticky point. And it's all orienting to your original home environment. And by that, I actually mean two things. I mean the original home environment in which you landed in as a small little one, as an infant, as well as the home environment you had just prior to that when you were still in the womb space. And things also feeling challenged through the liver and the liver meridian in that domain here as well. The eyes, as that we mentioned, are the processing center for the liver, are of all of the senses that we carry, 70% of all the sensory input that we receive happens through our eyes, happens through the energy of the eyes. So even if we're not visually dialed in, we might be, and what I mean by that is like not necessarily subtle vision dialed in, we might be drawn to look for it with our physical eyes or vice versa. If our physical eyesight is compromised, I only see out of one eye, for instance. My left eye is my dominant eye by far, and by that I mean my right eye has a little bit of vision, but it's very complicated to actually get it to see anything, for example. But my subtle vision, however, tends to fill in the gaps in ways that has just become natural over time. So it's not physically there, but something fills in somehow, nonetheless. So wherever you are on that spectrum of physical vision to subtle vision, looking at this collectively as one and the same for our purposes for today, and also looking at how the two potentially interplay in your own world, if they do. And as we work with the sensory processing that happens through the eyes, any sort of shortcomings that are not quite communicating as well as you'd like them to between your physical and your subtle vision. Or, like for instance, my one eye doesn't work all that well. The essence of that, which is if you ever see it wandering, you know why now. What's up with that? Let me start again. I'm tripping over my own tongue. As I see what's happening here, we're going into it's referred to as the decussation of the optic tracts, and our eyes actually get input from the nerves that are on the same side as well as on opposite sides, and there's a part of our vision that happens through that crossover. And we're looking at where the quote-unquote wires got crossed here. And anytime there's a misperception, even with people who have perfectly healthy eyes and perfectly healthy vision on all the frequencies, we may actually see things that aren't quite accurate because of misperceptions from our past conditioning that are locked into this crossing over point in the vision of the optic nerves. And as your eyes receive that input, they actually do a fair amount of trickery to keep things upright versus flipped upside down. And they do a fair amount of interesting maneuvers to actually allow you to sense anything physically or subtly in your vision field. As we work with this, we're supporting all the experiences that have happened through your maternal lineage. And we're going back no small amount, 18 generations past. And here there was a past life energy in the family lines around not being able to locate visually the like the berries, the herbs, etc., the foraging things, the veggies, the plants that were supportive for life. And there was this not being able to see them because they actually weren't there. The land was desolate, and the land didn't have the nourishment available, but the eyes got so strained and so sore from looking for it. And everyone had a slightly different response. For some people, it was like, well, give up, don't bother looking. And so the eyes went quiet. And for other people, it went the other way. And it turned into this energy of, I need to be hypervigilantly, always looking, obsessively looking. So as we work with that excess deficiency alike, using Chinese medicine terms here, it's linking into the eighth house. And the eighth house in astrology is often referred to as the house of death, rebirth, and then regeneration. It's also the house of the kidney meridian, which is connected to that ancestral lineage on mom's side to no small degree, 18 generations back. As we work with this pattern, there's the energy of feeling lost, feeling blind, feeling blinded by circumstances that were no fault of your own, of their own 18 generations ago, I'm referring to. However, that pattern is playing out here and now, the sense of timing around not always being able to quote unquote see or connect to that which nourishes you as easily because of those old experiences. And whether you're hypervigilantly looking and not being able to see it, it might be underneath your nose. Or whether there's a sense of apathy of going, nah, fuck it, I'm just gonna give up. I'm dropping all the F-bombs today. I was on good behavior for a little while, but it seems to have gone awry. Must be in the liver today. The liver likes to swear. I'm convinced of it. So as we work with it, we're going to actually connect all of that patterning through the eighth house, through the kidney meridian, into that impact on the liver. In Chinese medicine, when the liver yin deteriorates, the kidney yin deteriorates. Often they seem to hang out together, that pairing. And we're going to look at what's behind this root of the kidney and the liver alike being compromised in all these ways. And they're actually disconnected from the earth element itself. Now I understand the kidney is more water element, the liver is more wood element, yet everything actually has all five elements to a degree. It's just dominantly so water and wood. But they're still meant to have a little bit of all the other elements at play within them. And there's actually a disconnect between here and the earth. And we're actually needing to connect the kidney to the spleen and the liver to the spleen. The spleen is the yin of the earth. It's the oh so yummy, nourishing, ultimate source of what keeps us alive. It's the thing that I have deep gratitude for every time we start these calls, and I say thank you from the bottom of my heart to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands. It's that energy field that sustains, that vibrates, that carries the Schumann resonance. It's that frequency that gives rise to our capacity to literally be here, to be rooted here in life, on this planet, as just as you are. And as I say that, I actually see the kidney one points in the bottom of the soles of the feet plant a little deeper into the earth below, which I believe was homework, if I'm not mistaken, to let your feet, your toes dig into the earth as much or as little as you felt called to last week. I got up to a little bit of it myself as I was puttering in the yard. I have been overly wearing, for no reason at all, I just got into a weird habit of flip-flops in my own backyard, so I decided to ditch those and go barefoot more often. So it was a good reminder for me too. It might have been for me. Maybe it was for you too. And as we work with this essence of earth element now rising, I actually see it coming not just to the kidney this time, but from the kidneys, it goes and it branches out to the liver meridian alike. And the kidney, the liver, all run through the inside of the leg, that meridian pattern as it rises up through the inside of the leg, branching into the core where the kidney meridian runs, and into the liver, right through to the areas of genitals, which store pleasure, work with processing of pleasure, and into the chest muscles around the heart. In one way of thinking, the liver meridian guards the heart protectively. It creates like a little defense, so to speak. So that way the heart doesn't take the hit, but the liver does. And as the liver takes the hit, energetically speaking, that the heart stays protected from. The liver over time, although it has the capacity to regenerate with ease, over time it still gets a bit deteriorated. So we're actually going to run circulation of all the healing resources now through to the liver meridian part. Well, in particular, the part where it guards the chest, including blood that carries our passion, nerve, our communication, lymph that again drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chocolates, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, lower anxiety, depression, help our nervous and our immune system alike to settle, and for that matter, most of the rest of our body minds. And then working with the energy here as well of the yin and yang and hydration, bringing in the water, bringing in the joy, and releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here. And as we protect in this way the liver by resourcing it, the liver becomes more resourced to do its natural role of protecting all things yin, all things feminine. And know that I'm taking a fair amount of liberties with both body talk and Chinese medicine alike. Why not? Do it all. And as I take those liberties and I name the liver as the protector, it also does a far cry, a wide array of things other than protection. It does 500 metabolic reactions every single second. And it does, in addition to that, it detoxes all of the karmic stuff that we just don't need to hang on to on a daily basis. And it's very responsible for supporting hormonal balance, which is also very yin and feminine in essence. So as we work with all of that, we're going to run the permissions here for all things chest, liver, and heart alike. It's safe at home now. It's safe at home now. And then I actually see the energy of, in part, what's been named around in the chat feature around men eating first. And I actually see the image. I just started this show on Netflix. It's called Chimp Empire. And I'm all of a sudden, I'm only like halfway through the first episode, but I'm very invested all of a sudden in the like the drama of the family structures and how things are working in the chimp world. And one of the chimps has just had a baby, and she's maybe, I think, like 6 months old. And the alpha male chimp, which is proving his power, and he's trying to like hang on to all of his strength and his capacity to protect the, are they called herds? I actually don't know what the whole group of chimps is called yet. I'm sure it was in the show, I just haven't quite registered it yet. And anyways, the mom has seen this time and time again. And it's like, yeah, that's just what he does. And like she climbs up and she keeps her little one out of any potential harm's way, out of all the bravado of the masculine energy attempting to do what they need to do to be what they need to be. And in essence, the older sister of this little 1 year, not even 1 year old baby yet, is 7 years old, and she comes in to actually, because she hasn't seen as much of this before. So she actually comes in close to her 6-month-old sister, forming an alliance of sorts. Because the 6-month-old is pretty oblivious to the factors at play, but the 7-year-old is not. She's already looking to, how do I need to protect? And women traditionally protected themselves, as these chimps are doing, and as this little one is just instinctively doing at 7 years old already, to rally the troops, to find connection. So, in essence, connection becomes protection, which is our permission statement. It's a very long way to get there. But perhaps the story was illustrative to those underlying dynamics that will speak a little deeper to your system. Connection is protection. What if connection is protection? And if you work with that, you can even imagine the circulation, the connection of all those internal resources, providing in their own sense of protection, their own way. And as we work with this, thinking it then to the navel, a center for connection, as well as centeredness itself, what does it mean to be centered in feminine connections again? And as we do that, releasing that underlying fear of the, I'm going to call them the testosterone-driven beings, the alpha, the male, the masculine energies at times that might carry a little edge of like, uh-oh, what do I need to do with this in here? Is there a tiger in the midst that I need to protect my own family from all of a sudden? That energy. And the times in which you felt that when you were small and you were little and you may not have actually gotten the protection through feminine connection that you were craving. So although I'm describing dynamics that played out in the chimp empire, this is very much a play in our own reptilian brains and our own family structures. Here and now in present modern day, we haven't actually evolved all that significantly. We just have fancier clothes and houses. That's all. The rest of our brain wiring, those dynamics, have not changed overly. And there's been a little adaption, not as much as we like to perhaps think, though. We're still very driven by those ways. And as we look at the natural world for the root of that all, we're actually linking that through to the base chakra now and what it meant to have to, quote unquote, fight like hell at times to survive your own family, and whether that actually meant like physically or just simply mentally. I don't mean that simply at all. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, in all the realms and all the ways that you had to fight to, quote unquote, not become like your parents, to fight to do things different, to fight to be a cycle breaker, to fight to turn the tide in some way, shape, or form. Any act of rebellion, any act of, no, I'm not going to do it how you did it. I'm going to do it how I want to do it because I choose me this time. This time I choose myself. And as we work with that whole pattern, we're going to run a seed tree on it. And it's going to continue for the next 8 days. Interesting. So as it takes us into our next session, and even through that day, working with circulation of all those same healing resources that I mentioned earlier, followed by D for defrag, much like that computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and then what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Followed by all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to other possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as you release that, I actually see the base chakra, the root chakra, as it's often referred to by other systems. I see it turning almost like it's like a circle, but it's turned into one of those like circle puzzles which have all the different layers to them. So like the inner layer moves left a little bit, and the outer layer might go an entirely opposite direction by a fair bit, and there might be 18 layers between the innermost and the outermost, and it's like all the little bits are cogs. And they're all beginning to turn and find their own unique landing place for you. And the very center, the very, very center of this base chakra, this little jigsaw puzzle that's arisen here of sorts, there's this area of stillness. And it's interesting, it's pure black. I don't always associate pure black with light, bright, airy, easeful, yet it actually contains the yin of the yin. It's like the most yin thing. And I know in body talk, the root chakra, the base chakra, is considered to be yang. But at the very, very center point, this is a commonly accepted thing in most traditions. The very center is the point of stillness. And that center point is around which everything dances. It's the yang, it's the masculine, it's where action comes from, but at that source of stillness, that source where we're undifferentiated, it's pluripotential and its potential possibilities, meaning it's limitless in essence, it's eternal in nature. We might even call it the divine, we might call it God, we might call it whatever the name might be for you, that which is eternal at its stillest essence, which gives rise to everything. And that very, very root, right before it comes into action, into movement, just in that edge, right between stillness and action, I see what is often referred to as an event horizon. That terminology comes from a couple of different places. It's used in advanced body talk courses, and it's also used in like the Finding Health series, is what I mean by that, in body talk. And it's also used in physics and the astronomy realms. And there's this almost like you can think of it as like the beginning of a sunset. And I see it tying into that brief moment where there's that transition point. And the moment is brief, yet the timeline upon which it plays out might be long. That brief moment is the moment of creation itself, the moment of becoming from that place of being. And as we work with that edge, that particular point, that event horizon between becoming, taking action, yang, and being, yin, in essence, stillness. If we can imagine taking that brief moment and pausing on it and expanding it and slowing down, earthing here ourselves into it, what if this becomes your new source of where home really is? And what if all the other memories, ideas, beliefs, etc., and all the other connections that you have throughout your family lines ultimately trace back to this particular place? Ultimately, we can come back to this particular moment of expression, of creation coming alive through you, as you. What would be reimagined? What would you take forward? What would you want to have created here? What if you had all the power in the world to co-create and dream alive? What would you reimagine for yourself in this sweet little opportunistic moment that's here? And as you take time to be with that, we can take all that you're imagining, wrapping it up as a little seed, and planting it in the soil of the center point of this root chakra, this base chakra. What are you rooting into? What is it you wish to recreate? Not to take away from history, that still gets to be there, but simply to give rise to creative agency, to dream again, to feel essentially alive in ways that may not have been so available previously. And as you open up into connection, into your imagination in this way, connection into creating through imagination this way, you can might even notice what that little seed grows into and what comes alive from its expression. And perhaps you see that in this moment. Perhaps that continues to unfold over a period of time for you. And as we work with that, taking the tailbone, the coccyx, releasing adhesions, it's actually 3D all the way around. It's almost like it looks like a metal wire, but thick, that's been coiled around the tailbone. And as we begin to make a little space between your tailbone and this wire, it's carrying with it the essence of grief around violence and feeling the grief around past angry fueled types of violences that have played out that you may be present to in your world. Whether that's your family, your culture, your community, this globe, beyond, or perhaps it's simply within you. And we're working to release the desire for punishment, the desire for other people to pay, the desire for vengeance, the desire for something has to be made right here. And that justice that desire for justice that gave rose to excessive amounts of of just pure violence that grow and grew, begins to unravel through the tailbone and through 18 generations of you and your families that have come before you. And as we unwind this, what if you no longer need to be beholden to violence in order to survive? What if we no longer need to have the root of anger present to receive nourishment? What if the struggle of deprivation, of scarcity, of it's a losing battle no matter what I do, begins to unwind layer by layer by layer by layer by layer, slowly but surely, making even more space. And as it releases, it's like a weight that gets to spring slowly, slide slowly off of the tailbone. And as that releases, the spine may begin to rise as it doesn't have that old weight, which may have looked like it weighed nothing, yet somehow was pounds upon pounds upon pounds. And as it unwinds and releases, I see the traditional symbol for healing, the caduceus, which is the, basically, it's kind of like a little cross. It's like a dagger, though, I think, traditionally. And there's the two snakes that intertwine around it all. And I see that being superimposed over top of your spine. And we have energy channels that do just that. They intertwine, this symbol was no mistake. And they intertwine and they dance around the central channel, the Sushumna. And they have different names for them. Ida Pingala is one of them. And as we work with this essence of restoration of the natural energy system and cycle that was meant to be yours without the need for struggle, without the need for having to work through the desire of violence so vehemently, we begin to lighten the load in a way that allows for this all to rise and become a little bit more upright, become a little bit more tangibly present as a support, even. Something that you don't need to struggle against or hold yourself up against or fight against, but rather get to receive as a source of nourishment now that it doesn't have that old weight associated with it. And as you become nourished from the inside out, from that little seed that you planted, that little seed of imagination, that little spark of desire for things to be different, lighter, easier, freer somehow, it continues to grow and blossom. You might even notice that as you check in on that little seedling, if it's sprouted in any way, that it actually carries a fair amount of vitality in its essence. And as you, in essence, stand on your new ground of your new being, of what you planted as your desire to come alive into creation, into expression through you, we actually honor, as we connect this to the ancestral lines, all those that came before us as their gifts of wisdom, along with their gifts of their challenges, get to be intertwined lovingly together and give rise in your own unique expression through what came before you, with challenges and wisdom alike, as being now a support network from the inside out, pulsating, vibrating, as it continues to ripple through from the inside out, from the very core of you, linking this to the crown of the head, linking this as it rises through to the crown, along the way clearing out a little blockage around the hyoid. The hyoid is a bone that hangs out, it's a floating bone just underneath the chin. And I like to think of this as also where the heart meridian gets a little bit blocked sometimes in its expression, as the heart meridian has a branch that goes up into the face. We actually don't wear our heart in our sleeves, we wear our heart in our face. And as that energy was rising up through to the crown, releasing this little blockage through the hyoid, through its capacity to rise all the way up to and through how it is you're facing forward in your life. And the adhesions in the hyoid are mostly on the left side there. And here we're carrying a fair amount of rage around why wasn't this all happening before? Why has it taken us so long to get here? And that rage is linked into the gallbladder and to the regular bladder, the urinary bladder. The gallbladder, if it has old anger that it's hanging on to, forms gallstones. If the bladder itself has inflammation or even stones within it sometimes, mostly those are in the kidney though, that are coming through and being released. The old compressed anger that's creating that inflammation, whether it's in whatever form, irritations or stones alike, we're needing to run a little body chemistry on that, supporting the immune system in resolving this long held on to rage as a form of toxicity in and of itself. And this might sound bonkers, but what if that thing that's been really pissing you off, the thing that's been really irritating you, making you even potentially furious and rageful, whatever that is, that's been just kind of like frustrating to whatever degree that's coming through into connection for you? What if that, even though it sounds bonkers, what if you could actually choose to just let that anger down? What if you could choose to actively hand it back to where it came from? Maybe somebody said something rude. Maybe this is something that's been plaguing for years and years. Whatever it is, what if you could actively choose to go, today I choose me, and I'm handing that energy back and through the family lines or back to whoever you got it from. Maybe it wasn't through your family, but maybe it was to somebody else. And maybe they didn't hand it back through to where they got it from, which may have been their family. And as that energy moves back all the way through to source itself, running a cellular repair on the lining of the bladder and the internal lining of the gallbladder alike. And as we restore these cells back to their fullest potential of health, linking the gallbladder into house 12, which is the house of the liver, to help release any extra toxicity that it's hanging on to and to support releasing that anger. And then linking the bladder, interestingly enough, through to the spleen to release any underlying worries around those chronic things around feeling pissed off. And the spleen can flush it out through the lymphatic system. And now that the bladder and the gallbladder have a support system, a support network, it's like, somebody's got my back. There's a sense of supportive family in essence. And as that happens, coming back to this energy flow through the hyoid bone and all that rage that was being expressed, the hyoid bone in, I won't say it well, but in Greek translates to hyoides. Didn't say I would say it well. And there's a Greek goddess, nymph, I forget exactly, named Hyades, Hayides, Hayides. I believe, if my recall on this is correct, that she was actually one of many nymphs, and she was granted eternal life for her support of Dionysus. Dionysus, the god of wine, of nourishment in its own way, we might say. And everything else that Dionysus stood for. Dionysus, pardon me. And as we work with that energy of given eternal life, we can imagine that this carries the essence of eternity within it and allowing for the rippling through of your heart energy as it rises through the base of your throat to become eternally bright and alive for you. Eternally on in a harmonious way as it draws in nourishing experiences of respect and kindness, which is the whole essence of what the heart is drawn to do, to support you maintaining a sense of strong self in dignified ways, amongst all the other things that are happening. In essence, just like that very center point, the heart becomes, at its very essence, its very core, its very center point, the center of all that you get to hold yourself within and be embraced by alike, meaning you get to float effortlessly there. It's that middle point between becoming and being. It's its own event horizon in many ways. And that energy begins then to continue to flow through that caduceus imagery I mentioned earlier, all the way up to the very crown of the head, all the way through to here, a fear of I'm going to betray my family if I live in this way, and releasing the need to do it how anyone has done it before you, giving yourself permission, in essence, to break the rules, to break all the rules, and come into connection with what you know is honorable, true, correct, right for yourself. And as we step into this energy for the crown chakra to be bright, to work with its role in transcendence, working here to support the sustainability of this flow now from the base to the crown by linking every single vertebrae into its partner. The topmost vertebrae links to the bottommost vertebrae, cervical 1 to lumbar 5, then cervical 2 to lumbar 4, and so on and so forth until they meet, which is roughly in the center point at the back of the heart, at the base of the heart, I should say. And in this realignment, in this containment, of the energy that's held here in your spine. I also see the essence of, again, I choose me. I see on the very sides of that coming in, much like we might provide help to a new little one walking. I'm thinking mostly of my dogs right now that are aging. They need sometimes a little bit of support getting up the stairs. So if I hold just a little bit of energy on their side body, along their hips, they get the job done with ease. But without just that little bit of help sometimes, they struggle on occasion with a couple of the steps. The steps are steep and narrow and they're tall. So a little support goes a long way, and my little 20 pounder is not even. And the essence of that is what I'm noticing the spine is wanting for containment. And if you provide it with just a little extra support for stability, linking it into an acupuncture point, spleen 9, and hangzhou, on the inside of the knee. It's also known as the gate of kidney. And through spleen 9, we're releasing any excess dampness that's creating a heaviness, which is bogging things down, along with any excess heat that's stored here within the spleen and the kidney for that matter. And as that releases excess dampness and heat, we're gonna also release that through everything held between the navel and the base of your perineum, or the base chakra region, which is that space between either vagina or testes and anus. And as you release that excess heat, that excess dampness, the dimomeridine that naturally runs around the waist loosens up. And it doesn't need to be so rigid in its own character. It becomes more flexible and loosey-goosey. The dimomeridine is the only meridian that wraps around us. It's referred to as the belt meridian. And a lot of the issues in our liver or gallbladder alike play out in the dymo in a way. I won't belabor the relationships now, but know that there's an intertwining of sorts here. And as we support the system in loosening up that dymo meridian, there's actually even more room for the pelvis to rock and move with the breath, which becomes fluid synonymously with the spine. As it starts, your spine really begins down at that tailbone. And as that tailbone becomes even more fluid now that that weight is gone, it carries all the way up through to the sacrum. And almost like a jellyfish breathing, the breath pulsates all the way through the tailbone to the sacrum, to the low back, to the mid back, to the neck, all the way up to the back of the skull, pulsating fluidly with every breath. And now working with the cerebrospinal fluid flow that comes through the interior lining, roughly, of the skull and the spinal column. And as we work with that CSF flow, it conducts nutrition, nourishment, along with releases toxicities, and almost like the lymph system drains them in much the similar way. And as that releases, we're really releasing low self-esteem in the form of being self-conscious around how other people see you, self-conscious around how other people envision you, and releasing now the self-consciousness from your own eyes, releasing that own image that others will likely just continue to see things in you that make you feel self-conscious in nature. And as you release that through the eyes, I hear in like full stereo that song, Blinded by the Lights. It's an older song. I may not have done it justice. My singing voice isn't 100%. And as we work with it, my capacity to find pitch, I should say, is not 100%. But the idea there is the essence of being blinded by your own light from within your own self. And as you get to project that outward now, you may attract that inward as well. Perhaps there's no difference. Perhaps that's part of what gets to be created. Excuse me. Excuse me. The wildfire has been rich here. We've had air quality of 11 plus. I didn't know the rating system went beyond 10. But my throat is a little scratchy from it sometimes. And as that light pours out, I see it actually cocooning you in every 3D direction. And we're going to tap this part in here, invitation to breathe and receive. I know we're over time, but I have a short song to play. If you have a little bit of space, it's a 2.5 minute song. It's called Rooted. It's from the album Rooted. It's by Isha Badru. I'll pop it on into the chat feature if anyone's curious about it all. And for anyone who needs to run, I'll say, and I'll offer my thank yous now. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for bringing all of you to the table to experience it today. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on your day ahead, on your week ahead. If you have space for it, taking time to breathe, perhaps even calling in that resource that you connected to earlier and letting yourself rest and breathe.
Shine on your skin, alone.
Thank you for being here. And thank you for all of you once again. Mwah. All my love on your coming adventures. And I'm excited to hear how you're all getting on. Feel free to send me any updates if it feels right for you. Yeah, the song was totally like, I don't always remember all the lyrics for things when I pick them, but yeah, that like nailed every single thing in the session. So yeah, well done song. Yeah, have yourselves the most beautiful day. Yeah, the link for the song is just above there in the chat feature if you see it. Okay, loves. Bye for now. You're most welcome. You're most welcome. My pleasure. Have yourselves the most beautiful day. And if anyone